Day X World War III update. I got to make this quick today because, quite frankly, I'd rather be hanging out with my kids at times like these. Now, Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister of the UK, went for a visit to Washington today in order to put on public display the discourse about whether or not they're going to lift restrictions on Storm Shadow missiles, you know, the ones that nobody thought they would ever send in the first place. But of course, now it's become commonplace, and possibly ATACMS and JSOMs missiles as well, to unload and do deep strikes into Russian territory. All of this is just theater, and I will prove it to you, okay? And boy, do we got a good show for you tonight. You need to stick around because you're going to hear stuff that you ain't going to hear anywhere else. Get a load of this.
Prime Minister, have you asked permission to fire Storm Shadow missiles on Russia?
Okay, number one, why the hell is this group of very important people who've come here for this very short meeting, who've taken time away from their countries to come for this very important meeting, being hounded by the paparazzi in the meeting room? You don't think this is for public? This is totally for public display. The decision was made long ago. Of course, the results of this meeting never were intended to give any sort of conclusive green light for Ukraine in order to do the deep strikes. That's already been given, okay? This is just a matter to slowly but surely prime the public's mind to accept this heightened level of escalation. This is just to sort of test the waters of the public. It's a common tactic in psychology called priming, and something called the mere exposure effect. If you become familiar with an idea, a person, or any given stimulus, you are more likely to have less anxiety about said stimulus simply by virtue of being familiar with it, even if it's somebody who's trying to kill you. Okay? I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. It's just by virtue of familiarity, the mere exposure effect, priming, this is how people's perceptions are gradually shaped over time to accept things that at one time would have just seemed completely outrageous. So what they're doing is just shaping public perception. The decision has already been made. And to prove it, Sergei Lavrov, one of the foremost, most well-respected diplomats on the planet, with the exception, of course, of the West, who just think anything that any Russian says at this point in time is to be dismissed. He says, we have no doubt that the decision to lift restrictions on the use of long-range weapons to attack the territory of the Russian Federation was taken long ago. Let me repeat that last part. We have no doubt that the decision to lift restrictions on the use of long-range weapons to attack the territory of the Russian Federation was taken long ago. The question is, if that decision was made to allow Ukraine to do deep strikes using the weapon systems they now have used for a while and got acquainted with to do deep strikes, what is next in that sequence of decisions that has already been made? Because he's saying long ago. Is that days? Is that weeks? Is that months? Lavrov is a guy to be taken seriously. This is not a person who is going to say something unless they're 100% certain that it is true, okay? And I've already done a breakdown of the body language that he was exhibiting when he gave this statement yesterday. And he's deadly serious, and he's very perturbed. And you can see the anxiety and just the, even with the people behind him, I mean, they're not looking too confident either. So the Russians are at their wit's end, okay? And the idea, some people are saying that, Putin came out and made this ambiguous statement, which was totally ambiguous, that is somehow what changed their minds. Look at the smug look on their faces. I've never seen such alacrity in a meeting about the potential for thermonuclear Armageddon. And I'll tell you what underlies this. I'll tell you what underlies this false sense of confidence. They genuinely believe they can win a nuclear war. That is the crazy part, okay? Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about this in a moment. We're going to talk about it. Oh, yes. Yes, we are. Masters of the Air, Strategic Stability and Conventional Skies by Dan Plush and Manuel Galileo. These are just a couple of the mouthpieces of the Pentagon who actually believe that the U.S. could wipe out all Russia-China nuclear launch pads in 2 hours, claim study. So they genuinely believe everything I've been talking about, the decapitation strike, about testing the perimeter fence of Russia and doing this, getting this sort of 3D model, if you will, of their air defense system by doing these drone strikes and slowly accumulating the data that they are potentially going to use. That's what underlies this sense of smug, because they believe... I genuinely think this guy, I'm not just, I know some people say, you're a drama queen. Well, I mean, don't watch the fucking channel then, if that's what you think. Go and watch the trending page, or just go and, you know, post a dance to this very catchy jam that I can't play because the video will be demonetized, but it's stuck in my head. Anyways, understand that they genuinely believe this. They genuinely believe that Putin, they do not take him seriously. And that's the really scary part. They don't actually believe anything that Putin says. When Putin comes on and gives this very ambiguous statement, it was worded in the typical de-escalatory, open-ended, strategically ambiguous fashion that Putin typically comes out with. And a lot of people misread his statements. A lot of people said, Putin's going to declare war if NATO decides to permit Ukraine to do deep strikes. But when revisiting the actual statement that Putin made, let me see if I can pull that up. He doesn't say that at all. All he says is the usual, well, we'll take the appropriate action. Almost as if to invite NATO to do it. And he's got this underlying calmness as well. However, you should know that in the same way that this was all scripted here, that, you know, they had all this paparazzi in there to create a buzz. This reporter who's interviewing him is a Kremlin reporter. So this whole thing, this wasn't just some random, you know, we're going to do, I ran into Putin on the street. Of course, that's how they sort of make it look, as though Putin doesn't know what question he's going to be asked. He knew very well what the question was going to be. And he is also, he has his poker face on in this interview. My friends, these guys are fucking crazy. Take a look at what John Bolton has to say, okay? This is the mindset which is really permeating Washington right now. Take a look at this.
My response to Putin's remark, as to earlier threats involving nuclear weapons, is to say to him privately and publicly, if Russia uses a nuclear weapon in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin has signed his personal death warrant.
Okay, the question is why? Why? Is Ukraine a part of NATO? Really, where does it indicate in any sort of international agreement or coalitional agreement that if Ukraine gets nuked, Vladimir Putin has signed his death warrant, implying as though it's going to be the United States that assists with that process? Here is what the Russian spokesperson at the UN has to say. This is very important. And yeah, we're going to get to what Trudeau had to say too. Unfortunately, we are definitely going to get nuked. I hope Saskatoon isn't going to get nuked, but they may, you know, maybe I haven't been as kind to the Russians as they would like, so they'll probably, if Saskatoon gets nuked, it's my fault. Sorry.
Today, we can say assuredly that the decision to lift restrictions on the use of military equipment for long-range strikes into Russia by the West has basically been taken, and we are seeing the final...
Has basically been taken. Done deal. Finito. They're going to escalate.
...step of this legitimization right in front of the international community. In terms of relationships with Kiev, this really doesn't change anything for us. The neo-Nazi regime has long struck outside its territory, conducting terrorist attacks against civilians.
And see, this is what I mean. They're almost inviting further escalation by saying that it's, you know, they've already been doing this, right? Of course, they must presume that if cruise missiles are inbound, cruise missiles, of course, can potentially be nuclear tip. Maybe not these ones, but they must presume that there is a risk not only that these might have nuclear weapons on them, but that these conventional weapons are going to start to do significant damage to critical infrastructure there. Now, the question is, you know, is it going to have enough of an impact? Are they going to have enough of these things? But what Putin knows is that this decision that was made long ago is also followed by other decisions that have already been made. The decision to provide other weapons, possibly nuclear weapons. What John Bolton said was that exactly what these guys are saying. I'm of the belief right now that this whole Masters of the Air hypothesis about the U.S. believing that it could win a nuclear war by doing a decapitation strike, I think that that is what is underlying John Bolton's sentiment. John Bolton is a guy who, love him or hate him, I don't think anybody loves the guy, definitely anybody who's not in his immediate family. So he is suggesting, basically, he's telling you what they think, okay, the most hawkish of neocons. He is telling you exactly what they think. And we need to heed his warning. Let's see what else this guy has to say.
And civilian infrastructure of our country. However, this potential development of the situation fundamentally changed our relationship with the Western camp. If the decision to lift restrictions is really taken, that will mean that from that moment, NATO countries are conducting direct war with Russia. In this case, we will have to, as you understand, take the relevant decisions with all the consequences for this that the Western aggressors would incur.
Now, they've said this before. They really have said that before. It just seems the goalpost keeps moving. The question is, and you notice that he fell short of saying, we will declare war against you. Why? Why not just say, if you declare war on us, if NATO is effectively in a state of war, then we will be in a state of war with you. We will have to wage war back. Why use the ambiguous language with respect to the response? Why not just be straight up? Is it because they actually want to start this shit sooner than later because they know what the inevitable end is going to be anyways? I don't know. I don't know exactly what the hell is going on. In terms of, we're going to get to this guy, what he has to say in a moment here. Okay, so according to Politico, Starmer and Biden brush off Putin's threat of war. I'm going to give you just some of the quick details that Politico talks about that were discussed in this meeting. Starmer insisted this wasn't a meeting about a particular capability, but added, we've come to a strong position. Again, this is all just theater. This is all just for public consumption. The decisions don't get made here. This is merely a way to slowly cause the public to acquiesce to whatever sort of evil machinations they have planned for the world. The UK Prime Minister earlier did not rule out allowing Ukraine to use Storm Shadow missiles, despite Putin's threats, telling reporters Thursday, Russia started this conflict, Russia illegally invaded Ukraine, Russia can end this conflict straight away. These guys don't give a flying fuck about Vladimir Putin. Sorry about all the F-bombs today, but things are getting down to the wire. Let's just see, what's the price of gold at right now? What are we at? 2606. Okay, yeah, so we're still right. These guys do not care what the response from Vladimir. They don't sit around and wait for the Russians. They have a plan, and they are slowly rolling out that plan. If anything, there are back-channel communications, maybe with the ambassadors, Anatoly, who's in Washington right now. But above and beyond that, you're never going to hear what the plan is until that plan, you know, has had 3 months to percolate. Meanwhile, Moscow announced Friday it had expelled 6 British diplomats, accusing them of spying. The UK called the accusations baseless and said the diplomats lost their status in August. So what will happen if UK permits this is you'll likely see a suspension of of diplomacy between the Russians and the UK. It'll just be it. It'll be over. The ambassador will come back. And that's, of course, prerequisite to any sort of state of war. You don't have an embassy in a country that you're on the brink of war with. So that'd be the first step. So all this will happen. Storm shadows are going to start. Look, storm shadows are already striking Russian targets. Crimea. Russia considers that Russian territory. Whether we do or not is irrelevant. They also have been used, as far as I know, to strike within the Kursk region. So the question really is just about deepness and about depth. And, you know, if you ask me, it's a very slippery slope. So, but if Russia allows them to take this next step, then the sky is the limit. If they do not respond, because Russia must presume that this is going to be damaging to their nuclear forces, then they absolutely have to react to that sort of situation. It could be very deleterious to their capabilities if they just allow NATO to continue to persist with this strategy of mission creep. Now, let's hear what this clown has to say. This one's kind of long. I apologize in advance, but let's do it.
Or with NATO, if Ukraine uses long-range missiles deep into Russia, how far into Russia do you think Ukraine should be able to strike?
Vladimir Putin is striking regularly in the heart of Ukraine. He's sending missiles and bombs at hospitals, at daycare centers, at families and communities across Ukraine. And it was his choice to invade a neighboring sovereign nation. His choice to start this conflict, and it could be his choice to end it tomorrow. All he has to do is pull back his troops into Russian territory. But he won't do that. He is not just trying to remove any choice that Ukrainians have around where they want their future to go, remove their independence, remove their sovereignty. He's trying to deeply destabilize the international rules-based order that protects us all, not just in every democracy around the world, but in all countries around the world. Any country with a neighbor with a slightly larger army should be worried if it suddenly becomes allowed to invade and redraw lines on the map. And that's why Canada and others are unequivocal that Ukraine must win this war against Russia.
That's if you don't go and sign up at the conscription
office. We'll continue to be there to support Ukraine. And yes, Canada fully supports Ukraine using long-range weaponry to prevent and interdict Russia's continued continued ability to degrade Ukrainian civilian infrastructure and mostly to kill innocent civilians in their unjust war.
That's always bad. Okay, now let's just play that last part again, okay?
Long-range weapons against Russia. And we will continue to be there to support Ukraine. And yes, Canada fully supports Ukraine using long-range
whiskety wabbits
to prevent and interdict Russia's continued ability to
That's all, folks. Ottawa is now on the nuke list. I mean, we probably were for the longest time, but yeah, Justin Trudeau is all for it. Because we have all the means to fight World War III. We got shotguns here and semi-autos with 5-round pin mags. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. What else do we got going on? We talk about Bolton, we talk about Putin, we talk about the price of gold that keeps going up and up and up. Israel, there's more rumors again. Look, the price of oil is now going up again, and I talked yesterday, a friend of mine indicated that Soleimani, the head Iranian general, the top Iranian general who Trump assassinated in 2019, he once was quoted as saying that it's not when there's aircraft carriers in the Middle East that you need to worry, it's when they're not, because that's when they're worried about getting struck by Iranian weapons. So that the fact that the aircraft carriers are leaving, I'm not surprised that perhaps that's a sign, or at least one of them has left. I believe it is the Roosevelt. And it was scheduled to leave, by the way. It's still replaced by
the Abraham Lincoln, which is one of the most significant naval fleets, as far as I know. So it doesn't look good. It looks as though nobody even talks about it anymore, but the war on the Northern Front has been heating up day after day after day. There's been no slowdown whatsoever. It's just a matter of when exactly they're going to go to war. This is a photo of Los Angeles with a fire burning in the background, record temperatures all over the planet. We got Brazil that is in one of the most insane droughts that they've ever experienced since record keeping began. I don't have a map of that, but just expect the price of coffee to continue to go up. This is interesting. This is the future. They put this bazooka rocket launcher thingamajigger on a drone, and the drone shoots said weapon. So, I mean, I'm surprised that we haven't had this. Like, you would think that they would put a machine gun on it first, you know? I mean, wouldn't that be the first thing? Because the recoil would, I would think that the recoil would mess with the aiming on something like this, because how do you stabilize it unless they got really sophisticated gimbals and algorithms that compensate? But this is the future, man. Drone warfare. Why even have a soldier when you can just send a drone in, and a drone can do more than a soldier? You know, why, if you have a guy with a gun, have a guy with a gun that can fly in the air anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So this is the future of warfare right here. And we've already seen the incendiary munitions being used by the Ukrainians. And this is the next step. I'm very surprised that it hasn't been done already. RT getting sanctioned by the U.S. Romania strikes a deal to get 35 F-35s, which of course will make them a nuclear target. Sergei Shoigu and Kim Jong-un decided to go for a little ride. And that's just another sign that, you know, shit's getting ready to hit the fan. And I'm going to leave you on this note. I got to go hang out with my kids. Thanks for watching, guys. Take care. Bye.